Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is October 7th, 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I see people coming in from Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia. Welcome to our friends there. Berks County, Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, hello. Oh, let's see. Alabama, Plattsburgh, New York. Hello to our neighbors in New York. Happy to have you with us. Chesapeake, Virginia. Welcome. Aurora, Colorado. Hello to those watching in Colorado as well. I see Wisconsin as well. Glasgow, Scotland. Hello to our wonderful friends in Scotland who are watching. And welcome to our international audience who are joining us tonight. Tulsa, Jerusalem, Oklahoma. Clay Clark has coined that term. And yes, we love Tulsa. We absolutely do. Welcome. Welcome. Let's see. Plano, Texas. God bless Texas. Hello to our very large Texas audience that watches us from all around the state. So happy to have you with us. I see Tennessee as well. Michigan, New Jersey, our wonderful neighbors in New Jersey. Maine, hello to all our friends on the East Coast right now that are jumping in. We're so happy to have you with us. Minnesota as well. Welcome, welcome to you. Palm Coast, I see, Mississippi as well, Springdale, Arizona, California, hello to our friends in California, Washington State, hello to our friends in Washington State as well, Indiana, Kalamazoo, Michigan, wow, you're all coming in from all over the country, we're so happy to have you with us, many Floridas coming in, hello to our friends in Florida as well, and Guam, hello to our wonderful friends in Guam watching tonight, very happy to have you with us, as well as everybody else coming in. I see the Netherlands as well, hello to our friends in the Netherlands, we're very happy to have you with us, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho as well, welcome, welcome, and hello, hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Well, oh, I see Wales, UK just came in. Hello to our friends in England watching us as well. So, got a powerful, powerful word from the Lord tonight. This word is weighty. This word has power to it. All glory be to God. So we're going to open up in prayer. We're going to talk about the word Christ Church UK. Hello, I just saw you as well. So what we're going to do is open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord because this is such a weighty word, especially on the day I received it because today is October 7th. It is the two-year anniversary of what happened in Israel back in October of 2023. So like I said, the dates and the times are as important as what's in the word. So let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. Lord, we praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you this day, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. We all sin and fall incredibly short of the glory of God. And we just praise you, Lord, that your word says that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the word. He was the Passover lamb. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He willingly died for our sins. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And Christ said at the cross, it is finished. He paid it in full. He purchased us. He redeemed us, Lord. He reconciled us back to you. He descended into the underworld. He literally took the keys from death, defeated hell, death, and the grave, miraculously rose again. And after appearing to many, he ascended back into heaven to take his victorious rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that, Father, before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your power, your might, your presence mightily move in this place. Let your truth come forth, Lord. Let the weight of your glory mightily go forth tonight, Father, that people tangibly feel your presence, Father God, as we go forth mightily in you tonight, that the Holy Spirit would go forth and be the counselor and minister to those watching and lead and guide us as we go forth, Father God. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, that you be our front and rear guard, that you order our steps, that you order my words tonight, Father God, as we go forth, that you would fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team, the humble privilege, Father, of being vessels of your power, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, divisions to surround this place, to surround this property and this broadcast above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat, every bit of witchcraft, curses, spells, incantations, sorcery, and any other form of weaponized demonic activity. We rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ right now. We command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, Father God. And it be cast back to the areas you have designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return nor have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We're most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you. We owe you every breath. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us. Your word says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Father God. We praise you. We give you all the glory, Father God. You truly are, Father God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, Father. And we praise you and we thank you as we go forth, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. I feel the Lord stirring, so praise the Lord for that. Always wonderful to hand it over to the Lord in prayer. So, if you could share this broadcast right now, we'd very much appreciate it. And like and subscribe, because we have a powerful word of the Lord to share tonight. I received this word today. I was actually up during the night praying in the spirit. And then this morning about 7:30 a.m., this word came forth. It is almost 8 pages long. It is profoundly prophetic that the Lord gave it to me on October 7th, 2025, given this marks the 2-year marker for what happened in Israel, October 7th, 2023. And so I'm going to release the word of the Lord. I have some things to say after it, actually, about what we see happening right now in this nation, as well as what's happening in Egypt right now and what's happening with Israel. So we're going to talk about that afterwards, but we're going to release the word of the Lord first. We will have some things afterwards at the end to talk about as well. So if you could stay on, that would be great. So let's go. October 7th, 2025, word of the Lord, 7:30 a.m. approximately, it came, and this is what it says. All capital glory, honor, and praise be to the Lord of hosts, creator, sustainer of the heavens and the earth, the Lion of Judah, the righteous judge. He is clothed in splendor, majesty, and holiness. In his hands are the scales of justice upon which the nations are weighed. His eyes wander to and fro across the earth, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The hands of time are at his mercy as he holds the foundations of the earth in their place. And to his kingdom, there is no end. And the Spirit of the Lord says this day, ready yourselves, my children, ready yourselves. Be sober-minded and vigilant in an hour of great significance. The enemy seeks to make a statement, to bring an outcry, to bring great accusation, says the Lord, against the church, says the Lord, against leadership in your nation, says the Lord, against Israel, says the Lord. For accusation shall arise from Egypt, says the Lord. For the enemy seeks to derail and destroy the great shifts that are occurring within the earth. For this is a pivotal time, says the Lord. It is an urgent time where the course of direction must be wisely followed, says the Lord. For there shall be blockades and embargoes that occur within hubs within the earth in order to attempt to stop justice from going forth and settling the debts that nations so have accumulated in this time, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, events shall come in twos, says the Lord, for this is a significant marking of time within the earth, says the Lord. It is a delicate time. It is a time where the actions of men and leaders shall begin to make agreements to prevent an all-out war in the Middle East, says the Lord. For at 2 years, says the Lord, Hamas is surrounded, says the Lord. It is surrounded by the nations who once were agreeable to such, have bitterly turned, says the Lord, and the snares that were placed within that region have now come upon them, says the Lord, have come upon them in a place, Egypt, says the Lord, Egypt, a place of slavery, a place of defiance against the Lord God Almighty, a place of plagues, a place of the great Exodus, a place where a Joseph arose as well, says the Lord. Israel finds themselves in a reverse exodus back to Egypt, says the Lord. Once again, facing off in Egypt as Moses and the people faced off against Pharaoh. They are dealing with the same regional spirit, says the Lord, that thousands of years ago enslaved them. And Israel agreed capital to the demands Egypt began to make, says the Lord. The serpent is around Egypt circling during such meetings. Israel, be on guard. Do not allow the serpent to beguile as it has done so many times, says the Lord. Do not become defiant in such as your people were in the wilderness and serpents were released to bite and infect Israel, says the Lord. Leadership of Israel, place your pride at my altar and see such from my capital perspective, says the Lord. For the lives of those who have been captive depend on such, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim the release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners. Thus says the Lord, the entity in the spirit that is controlling and influencing the areas where the captives are still being held. Thus says the Lord, as in the wilderness I came and tabernacled with my people, says the Lord, so in this time I, the Lord, shall do the same, for I, the Lord thy God, this day am ordering from my throne the release of the captives. These powers and rulers must let go of any legal claim, says the Lord, for there is a weakening and a shift, says the Lord. And if Hamas does not let go of the captives within a very short window, I, the Lord, am a consuming fire, and consume them I shall, says the Lord. I shall do to them what was done to the Philistines, says the Lord. Their physical persons, it shall spread at a supernatural rate, says the Lord. Israel in Egypt needs to call on the name of Yeshua, says the Lord. And says the Spirit of the Lord, this day, there shall be an accounting within the government of the United States for the blood that was shed, says the Lord. For what was shed was meant to open a legal door for a second attempt on a high leader in your nation. The cries of the nation to Almighty God in this time have weakened such a plan. However, says the Lord, it has not broken it. There is about to be a shift, says the Lord. I, the Lord, shall change the course. For, says the Lord, leadership in your nation must, capital, perceive the rerouting the enemy has done, says the Lord, where he is coming from a different direction and a different angle, says the Lord. There are areas of weakness the enemy shall attempt to exploit as your government experiences a shutdown, for I, the Lord, am causing events to occur to bring such to a head, says the Lord, in order to expose the true heart posture of both parties, says the Lord, both parties, and that's in capital. For such a shutdown, says the Lord, choose wisely, says the Lord, for if you choose to build on sand in this time, 2026 will be lost. says the Lord. If you choose in this time to bargain away the cornerstones for a weakened compromise structure, then it will not hold the weight of what is coming, says the Lord. For, says the Lord, I am allowing a great pressure to build, says the Lord. It is being allowed to build in areas of your nation. It is being allowed to be applied, says the Lord, to Washington, D.C., to the White House, says the Lord, to Chicago, says the Lord, to New York, says the Lord, to Portland, says the Lord, to Los Angeles, says the Lord, Denver, says the Lord, areas where the rulers and dark councils are on the move, says the Lord, to attempt to rise up to force a clash with the president in order to power the very altars that have given them their power, says the Lord. Amidst such shutdowns, there are uprisings, rebellion, a perceived weakness of such. A shutdown has stirred those spirits influencing such leaders of these areas to uprise now. The mayor of Chicago, the governor of Illinois have met with dark councils, have met with brotherhoods, have made blood deals with gangs in those areas to maintain controls. Blood deals with gangs. This shall be exposed, says the Lord, for the greatest scandal to ever come forth out of Chicago shall come forth in this time. For as the media, as the nation yells, shut down, shut down. I, the Lord thy God, am opening things wide up. And that's capital, says the Lord. I am gutting such down to the hollow, says the Lord. Shutdowns will not cover up what you have done, says the Lord. For, says the Lord, at the FBI and the CIA, the cover shall be ripped off of such an intricate plot that was made to look clean on the surface, says the Lord. I, the Lord, am cautioning the heads and co-heads of such agencies. Do not allow the cover-ups to go back underground. Do not make deals to keep such in the dark, but expose them and tear out the root of 9/11 that is wrapped deep around these agencies and continues to produce offshoots of such, says the Lord. In this time, says the Lord, there shall be a great breaking up of what is covered such up, and the root in all its ugliness shall come forth, says the Lord. For in this nation, says the Lord, there has been an infiltration. The governor of New York is involved, says the Lord, an infiltration to bring forth in a moment of perceived weakness another attack, another 9/11. For terror seeks an occasion amongst a shutdown, says the Lord. Terror seeks an occasion amidst wars, rumors of wars, and rogue mayors and governors arising, making such noise. Amidst the bloodshed in this nation, terror moves about seeking to send your nation into complete upheaval, says the Lord, seeking to be the one who, quote, rattled the presidency, says the Lord. For this is greater than the Taliban, says the Lord. This is a banded network of representatives from these groups banding together by a pact and an oath, like such an oath that was made by the Jews and Pharisees that they would fast until they killed Paul. That spirit that influenced Saul to commit such acts of terror is now on the move to attempt to stop the shift, the great transformation of Paul in this nation. It will take intercession, fierce intercession, and the sword of the Spirit being utilized and the agreement of the church to weaken such an attack. For the serpent has not only laid eggs, but moved into position in this nation and is posturing itself for another strike around the time of the 1 year mark from the election in this nation. High alert, says the Lord, high alert. Strategic and powerful prayer can turn the war. Obedience to what I, the Lord thy God, am requiring in this hour can turn such, says the Lord. The obedience of the cabinet and the president and vice in this hour can turn such events that have postured themselves. For just as Hamas appears to make a deal, says the Lord, the Taliban shall see an occasion and rise up in fierceness, says the Lord. A two-headed serpent, do not cut one off without the other, says the Lord. For there is a full circle moment with the Taliban, says the Lord, that can be cut off and stopped if leadership will hearken unto my capital voice, says the Lord. The advisors, the prognosticators, the company of foolishness, yelling in Congress is all noise that the enemy can attempt to move about undetected. Logan, Utah, says the Lord. Logan, Utah, he says it twice. Watch, Capitol, and uncovering, says the Lord, that connects to Orem, says the Lord, that connects to the nation, says the Lord. Amongst the tumult, my Capitol people, Capitol, must build, says the Lord. Humbly build, that's Capitol. Catch the vision and contend in this time. Do not let the tumult distract you or stifle you, for this is a window of immense favor I am placing upon my children to build and to take territory and to position now in obedience so the dictatorship that shall fiercely arise with the backing of dark councils shall not overtake in 2028. A fabricated event in 2027 will attempt to rattle and shake the earth and derail leadership that I, the Lord, have chosen. They are attempting to open a gate in 2027, says the Lord. Bill Gates has until then to repent, says the Lord. The cartels and drug giants shall be struck in this time. There are scrolls of judgments that have gone forth, and the most well-known drug companies in this time will experience their greatest setbacks. For they and the cartels are connected in the spirit, says the Lord. And the cartels, half their wealth, shall be seized within a seven-day period, says the Lord, and shall greatly cripple such giants and throw them down, says the Lord. The window is closing on the leader of Venezuela, says the Lord. Grace has been offered. Judgment is coming, says the Lord. A catastrophic fracture to the infrastructure of Venezuela, says the Lord. For in this time, there is a shift that is meant to fracture the platforms of leadership within the earth who have trifled in my capital business, says the Lord, who have attempted to snuff out my capital word, says the Lord. Woundings in this time. Now, this is what's interesting. It's France, but it also says furnace, okay? Woundings in this time, France and then furnace, shall buckle on itself, along with those locked in a battle with such a leader. Those court cases shall implode and both sides shall fall, says the Lord. For the rebellion has reached a crescendo and the sword of Saul has gone out, says the Lord. A phenomenon shall occur over the skies of Israel to mark this time, says the Lord. There shall be a shocking incident at the Temple Mount to mark this time as well. And the Spirit of the Lord says this day, leadership of Russia and Ukraine are on their last leg, says the Lord. For this is a time of a great shift, and those who do not repent in turn will fall into the fiery cauldron their hands so built, says the Lord. Watch Indonesia in this hour and India, says the Lord. Double eyes, double attack, says the Lord. Amidst the sword and spear and javelin being deployed in your nation, boldly proclaim my word, says the Lord, so those weapons of mass destruction will reverse upon the senders, says the Lord. For the lion and serpent have both gone out, says the Lord. Both predators, one constricts while the other attacks the main lifeline, says the Lord. Both the lion and the serpent have gone out in England, says the Lord as well, and both will strike in tandem, says the Lord. It has gone out in the United States, says the Lord, and the dismantling such in the name of Jesus Christ will expose right before the strike. For the lion and serpent will suddenly turn and hunt each other, says the Lord, including within their own parties, says the Lord. This is a delicate time, says the Lord. Events in tandem, one after the other, for the nation needs to continue to humble itself, says the Lord. Israel must humble itself, says the Lord, so I do not stay my hand in such matters. Therefore, submit to God, resist, Capitol, the devil, and he shall flee from you. Resisting without submission is nothing more than rebellion. And that is what attempts to arise in this hour with a venomous outcry in Congress, in the nation, in leadership, in the arena where conservative voices speak across the airwaves. They are resisting without submitting. That, says the Lord, is rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. And the spell they are under, they attempt to spellbind the people with, that shall be exposed and broken, and the true funding source exposed, as I, the Lord, am examining the voices who claim they serve me, however utter such corruption and confusion. Oh, the deals you have made in the dark, the deal your spouse made in the dark is about to be exposed, says the Lord. I have given time, I have given mercy. The mercy seat has been withdrawn, and the judgment seat has been brought forth, says the Lord. The covenants you made in the dark will now be what causes your fall, says the Lord, in the light. The conservative movement is in a civil war, says the Lord, because I, the Lord, was never the cornerstone of such. And now a counterfeit cornerstone has attempted to be seamlessly switched out for the we has turned into me, says the Lord, and my theories and my sources and my story and my voice. When the sheep scatter and fracture is when the wolves arrive, says the Lord. Some of you are one step from complete loss at your own hands. All capitals. Stop the obsession with David, says the Lord, for your life is not right before me. Your obsession with David is bringing you right into a trap. You are one step away, says the Lord. Turn back now. I am a merciful God, says the Lord. I am long-suffering, and I love my children. However, the time requires a greater level of discipline and maturity from my people in order to withstand and dismantle the attacks of the enemy, the sophisticated arguments in high places. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Make that choice and step into my plans, my purposes, my timeline, says the Lord, and dismantle such that the enemy has attempted to put in place. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All glory be to God. I felt the weight on that, reading that word. I could actually feel the weight on the word as I was reading it. I have something else to go over too, but this word actually started with a dream I had during the night. And in that dream, I was shown the mountains of Utah, and there was a woman frantically driving in a van. And it was spoken to me more than once, Logan, Utah. I didn't even know there was a Logan, Utah. I have to be honest. I went and looked it up after I had the dream. And sure enough, it is where one of the major Utah universities happens to be. I think it's Utah State University. Maybe we could look that up. But it's where one of the major universities for Utah is. And it was spoken to me in this dream as I was looking at the mountains of Utah in the dream, Logan, Utah. Didn't even know it existed, really, until I woke up, I wrote it down immediately, and I went and I looked it up. So I want to go over just a couple parts here because we have the second part to get into. But we'll talk about the reverse Exodus with Egypt in the second part, because that's quite prophetically profound for the time that we are in, and that they would pick Egypt to meet, because that is prophetically profound as well. The part where the Lord quotes Isaiah 61. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners. That is an announcement that the Lord is making according to Isaiah 61 about the time that we are in. It is also the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, right now. So October 7th, the Feast of Tabernacles and the meeting in Egypt have all collided on this collision course, which I don't think is by accident at all. And we'll get into the Feast of Tabernacles in a moment, because actively it's being celebrated right now. I believe it's celebrated for 7 days, the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, let me go down this word here, where the Lord talks about Hamas and the Philistines, and he's going to do to them what he did to the Philistines. If you remember, when the Philistines were at war with Israel, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they took what was the Lord's, they took captive what was God's. The Ark of the Covenant was God's. They took it prisoner. They took it captive. Not only did God continuously throw their idol Dagon on his face before the ark, but he struck them with tumors. He struck them with a horrific infestation of rodents. And so when the Lord is referencing, he's going to do to the Philistines, He's going to do to Hamas what he did to the Philistines. That's where my mind goes for a moment with that. So I wanted to point that out as well. He's also warning Israel, though. He's also warning Israel to walk circumspectly right now, because the serpent is looking to deceive. So I found that interesting as well. This part also, and says the Spirit of the Lord, this day there shall be an accounting within the government of the United States for the blood that was shed, says the Lord. There has to be an accounting due now. For what was shed was meant to open a legal door for a second attempt on a high leader in your nation. The cries of the nation to Almighty God in this time have weakened such a plan. However, says the Lord, it has not broken it. There is about to be a shift, says the Lord. I, the Lord, shall change the course. For, says the Lord, leadership in your nation must, capital, perceive the rerouting the enemy has done, says the Lord, where he is coming from a different direction and a different angle. They think about this, different direction, different angle, says the Lord. There are areas of weakness the enemy shall attempt to exploit as your government experiences a shutdown. For I, the Lord, am causing events to occur to bring such to a head, says the Lord, in order to expose the true heart posture of both parties, says the Lord. Both parties, and that's capital. Okay. He warns about choose wisely during the shutdown, because if you choose to build on sand, that's how you choose to get out of the shutdown. That's where I believe the Lord is going with this. 2026 will be lost, because he says, for such a shutdown, says the Lord, choose wisely, says the Lord. For if you choose to build on sand in this time, 2026 will be lost, says the Lord. Okay. He warns about not bargaining away cornerstones to make a weakened, compromised structure. Compromise leads to a loss of vision. So he's warning not to compromise in the midst of this shutdown. He's warning of that and what it'll do. Okay. He warns about a great pressure building in certain areas. He mentions Washington, D.C. He mentioned Chicago as well, New York, Los Angeles, Denver, Portland. Now, he mentions this part I want to read again because I think it's quite profound. He says, the mayor of Chicago, the governor of Illinois have met with dark councils, have met with brotherhoods, have met with have made blood deals with gangs in those areas to maintain controls. Blood deals with gangs. This shall be exposed, says the Lord, for the greatest scandal to ever come forth out of Chicago shall come forth in this time. For as the media, as the nation yells, shut down, I, the Lord thy God, am opening things wide up. That's capital, says the Lord. I am gutting such down to the hollows, says the Lord. Shutdowns will not cover up what you have done, says the Lord. For, says the Lord, at the FBI and the CIA, the cover shall be ripped off of such an intricate plot that was made to look clean on the surface, says the Lord. I, the Lord, am cautioning the heads and co-heads of such agencies. Do not allow the cover-ups to go back underground. Do not make deals to keep such in the dark, but expose them and tear out the root of 9/11 that has wrapped deep around these agencies and continues to produce offshoots of such, says the Lord. In this time, says the Lord, there shall be a great breaking up of what is covered such up, and the root in all its ugliness shall come forth, says the Lord. Okay, that was quite profound. He warns about an infiltration that the governor of New York is involved. It could be the governor's office even, but the governor of New York is involved. And in a moment of perceived weakness, he's warning of another 9/11, for terror seeks an occasion amongst a shutdown, says the Lord. Terror seeks an occasion amidst wars, rumors of wars, and rogue mayors and governors arising, making such noise. So he talks about that. He talks about them, about terror moving about, seeking to send your nation into complete upheaval, says the Lord, to be the one who, quote, rattled the presidency. That's a trophy for them right now, to rattle completely the presidency. Because what happened, the horrificness of what happened in September didn't rattle the presidency. It hurt, but it didn't completely rattle it. And everybody just started calling on the name of Jesus Christ more. He talks about a banded network of representatives. This is greater than the Taliban. Let's see. he talks about an oath like the ones now in the New Testament. There is an account where the Pharisees and Jews that were a part of that, they made a pact and fasted, I believe, until they killed Paul, which they didn't get to kill Paul, but they made this pact that they weren't going to eat until they found Paul and killed him. And that is, in a way, what the Lord is comparing this to. He also says the spirit that influenced Saul to commit such acts of terror is now on the move to attempt to stop the shift, the great transformation of Paul in this nation. That's why the church has to be Ananias right now. This is exactly why the church has to be Ananias in this moment. Because Ananias is the one that found Paul with the scales on his eyes and said, "Brother Paul, receive your sight." And when Paul was, when he was Saul at that point, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." When that happened, he became Paul. And there was a great transformation and the killing was stopped. Right there, from that day forward, Saul become Paul did not persecute another Christian, did not kill another Christian, did not throw another Christian in prison. Ananias had a pivotal role in that. The church has a chance in the midst of this to be Ananias. That is what we have to be. We have to be submitted and obedient to be willing to pray and intercede, because there is a Saul to Paul moment that needs to happen in this nation. He talks about it's going to take fierce intercession, but he also says, and the agreement of the church to weaken such an attack, for the serpent has not only laid eggs, because those eggs will hatch, but moved into position in this nation and is posturing itself. When something is posturing itself, it's readying itself. It's preparing itself. It's getting into the right position, posturing itself for another strike around the time of the 1 year mark from the election in this nation. High alert, says the Lord. High alert. Okay. He warns about, just as Hamas appears to make a deal, says the Lord, the Taliban shall see an occasion and rise up in fierceness, says the Lord. A two-headed serpent. Do not cut one off without the other, says the Lord. For there is a full circle moment with the Taliban, says the Lord, that can be cut off and stopped if leadership will hearken unto my capital voice, says the Lord. He goes into Logan, Utah after that, which we already went over. And then he gives a charge to his people. So Almighty God gives a charge to his children in the midst of this word. And he says, amongst the tumult, my capital people must build. That's capital, says the Lord. Humbly build, capital. Catch the vision and contend in this time. Do not let the tumult distract you or stifle you, for this is a window of immense favor I am placing upon my children to build and to take territory and to position now in obedience. So the dictatorship that shall fiercely arise with the backing of dark counsels shall not overtake in 2028. And then he talks about 2027. A fabricated event in 2027 will attempt to rattle and shake the earth and derail leadership that I, the Lord, have chosen. They are attempting to open a gate in 2027, says the Lord. Bill Gates has until then to repent, says the Lord. Quite a sobering warning right there, because the year is being given as well. He goes into the cartels and the drug giants as well as an event where it seems over half the cartel's wealth is going to be seized within a 7-day period. So we'll see how that plays out. He talks about Venezuela and France as well. He talks about lawsuits that leadership of France seems to be involved in as well. Indonesia and India, says the Lord, double eye, double attack, says the Lord. And then he says, amidst the sword and spear and javelin being deployed in your nation. That comes from 1 Samuel 17. You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. David said that to Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. Remember that. Philistine and Palestine are synonymous. But just remember that. Amidst the sword and spear and javelin being deployed in your nation, boldly proclaim my word, says the Lord, so those weapons of mass destruction will reverse upon the senders, says the Lord. For the lion and serpent have both gone out, says the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this is Psalm 91. This is why you have to get diligent and disciplined about saying Psalm 91. It says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and serpent you shall trample underfoot. So what's the answer for the lion and the serpent going out? The word, Psalm 91, trampling it with the word. So he says, the lion and serpent have both gone out, says the Lord. Both predators, one constricts while the other attacks. The main lifeline, says the Lord. Both the lion and the serpent have gone out in England, says the Lord, as well, and both will strike in tandem, says the Lord. It has gone out in the United States, says the Lord, and the dismantling such in the name of Jesus Christ will expose right before the strike. For the lion and serpent will suddenly turn and hunt each other, says the Lord, including within their own parties, says the Lord. And he goes into talking about what a delicate time this is. He talks about, he quotes the scripture, therefore, submit to God, resist capital the devil, and he shall flee from you. Resisting without submission is nothing more than rebellion. And that is what attempts to arise in this hour with a venomous outcry in Congress, in the nation, in leadership, in the arena where conservative voices speak across the airwaves. They are resisting without submitting. That, says the Lord, is rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. And the spell they are under, they attempt to spell bind the people with, that shall be exposed and broken, and the true funding source exposed, as I, the Lord, am examining the voices who claim they serve me, however utter such corruption and confusion. Oh, the deals you have made in the dark, the deal your spouse made in the dark is about to be exposed, says the Lord. I have given time, I have given mercy. The mercy seat has now been withdrawn, and the judgment seat has been brought forth, says the Lord. The covenants you made in the dark will now be what causes your fall, says the Lord, in the light. And he talks about the conservative movement being in a civil war, and that the Lord was never the cornerstone of such a movement. And now a counterfeit cornerstone is attempted to be seamlessly switched out, for the we has turned into me, says the Lord. Quite profound. He also says in capitals, stop the obsession with David, says the Lord, for your life is not right before me. Your obsession with David is bringing you right into a trap. You are one step away, says the Lord. Turn back now, because it's that same spirit of madness that influenced King Saul to chase David. It's that same spirit we see at work now. So I wanted to, let me go to the second part here now, because I think it's important for us to talk about here. Let me see where I have it here. I might just have to call it back up from my notes. Okay. A two-year mark. Yeah, here we go. Okay. So, being that today is the two-year mark of October 7th. It's also the Feast of Tabernacles. You also have a government shutdown in the United States of America, and you have negotiations going on in no other place than Egypt. All of this has collided, okay? So if you look at this, right, you have the October 7th anniversary attack, you have a government shutdown, you have a Feast of Tabernacles, and you have negotiations in Egypt. Think about all of that together, the collision course that prophetically this has all been on. So this is prophetic as well, what I'm about to tell you. So I'm going to read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, and you'll understand where I'm going with this after we read it. Now a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was especially beautiful and healthy, she hid him for 3 months to protect him from the Egyptians. When she could no longer hide him, she got him in a basket made of papyrus reeds and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child in it and sent it amongst the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister Miriam stood some distance away to find out what would happen to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile. And she with her maidens walked along the river's bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to get it, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying, and she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a wet nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, said, "Because I drew him out of the water." One day after Moses, verse 11, had grown into adulthood, it happened that he went to his countrymen and looked with compassion at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his countrymen. He turned to look around, seeing no one. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day and saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. And he said to the aggressor, "Why are you striking your friend?" But the man said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Certainly this incident is known." Now, this is Exodus 2. We're at the 2-year mark for this war between Israel and Hamas. The birth of Moses, the deliverer, is in Exodus 2. The deliverer being brought into the house of Pharaoh by the hand of Pharaoh's daughter is also in Exodus 2. So the deliverance being brought into the house of Pharaoh and being raised up and negotiated in the house of Pharaoh in the leadership of Egypt is all in Exodus 2. And we're at the 2-year mark. Now I'll show you how this matches. I want to go to February 20th, 2025 first. In the word from the Lord, the Hamans have gone out to hunt. This is the excerpt. "For the year of Purim reversals is about to begin, says the Lord. Capitals, a year of reversals, overturning, sifting, shaking, shock, says the Lord." Shock. Okay. Now, we have, as we see what's going on, we have the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, which is a Torah-commanded Jewish holiday that's celebrated for 7 days, beginning around the 15th of the month of Tishri. It basically is a harvest festival, and it commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. So the Feast of Tabernacles literally commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. It celebrates the Exodus out of Egypt. This year, 2025, at the time the Feast of Tabernacles is beginning, you see a reversal is happening. And you see all these nations, including Israel, making an exodus, not from Egypt, but an exodus back to Egypt for these Israel-Hamas talks back to Pharaoh's house. Where was the deliverer raised up out of an Exodus 2? Pharaoh's house. Where was it negotiated to raise the deliverer up that would deliver the people of God from Egypt? Pharaoh's house. Moses, the deliverer, was raised up and negotiated within the house of Pharaoh because Pharaoh's daughter had to negotiate with Pharaoh in order to raise Moses, who was a Hebrew, in the house of Pharaoh. And this year, while the Feast of Tabernacles is going on and the 2-year anniversary, October 7th, you see a reverse exodus happening and you see all these nations, including Israel, going back to Egypt, going back to Pharaoh's house to negotiate deliverance, to negotiate setting the captives free, right? Because Pharaoh held the Jews captive in Israel. They were slaves. So now we see this reverse exodus that was spoken about, the year of reversals at February 20th, 2025, in the words, the Hamans have gone out to hunt. They're all reversing the exodus, going back to Egypt, going back to Pharaoh's house to negotiate deliverance for the captives out of Pharaoh's house, as it was spoken of in Exodus chapter 2. This is not a coincidence. This is prophetic, which means we're on the cusp of seeing some incredible events and reversals strike this situation with Hamas. But Israel has to tread cautiously because they're in Pharaoh's house. Israel is negotiating in Pharaoh's house. Moses was sent to Pharaoh's house to negotiate the release of the captives. Israel, during the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates the Exodus out of Egypt, during the Feast of Tabernacles is now having a reversal, going back to Egypt to negotiate deliverance of the captives out of Pharaoh's house. And while all this is happening, Israel is attempting to negotiate in a place that enslaved them. Israel is attempting to negotiate in Egypt, in a place that enslaved them. They are negotiating with wickedness in a place for them that represents enslavement, the plagues of God, Moses being the deliverer, being raised up and helping deliver the people out of Egypt. And it also represents a Hebrew man that was a captive himself in Egypt in an Egyptian prison named Joseph, being suddenly freed as a captive and raised up to be second in command out of Egypt. A Joseph will arise out of this situation. A Joseph will arise out of this negotiation, out of this captive situation. You will see a Joseph arise because we are watching the reversal happen. And we're watching this as, now think about the timing. While Israel has to negotiate with Hamas in Egypt, the United States government shuts down, which means the United States government has no extra resources right now to even perhaps get super involved in that situation, except for President Trump and Marco Rubio and all of them being involved. I'm saying we have a shutdown here, while at the same time, there is a negotiation and a reverse exodus happening in Egypt. It's all colliding on a collision course at the same time. The government literally shut down in the United States of America on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, the day where it believes God judges the matters of men and nations from his courts. That's when the United States government shuts down. And then on the Feast of Tabernacles is when you see the reverse exodus happen and the negotiations in Egypt. Israel now has to go back to Egypt to renegotiate the release of the captives. It's an exodus moment all over again. And it's been 2 years now. And Exodus 2 is when Moses was negotiated into the house of Pharaoh to be raised up in the house of Pharaoh as the deliverer to set the captives free. These are prophetic timelines we are dealing with. And we have to recognize that and intercede and pray. And am I saying Israel is perfect? No, nobody's perfect. But Israel better be on guard, because the serpent, that serpent that used to sit on the head of Pharaoh, on his little headdress there that he would wear, that serpent is in the spirit, is circling Egypt, looking to beguile Israel in this, looking to entrap Israel in this because of the captives. You see, when Moses was negotiating with Pharaoh to set the captives free, Israel, go back and read Exodus. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. All the leadership of Israel right now should be going back, along with the leadership of the United States of America, by the way, and reading the book of Exodus. When Moses went to Egypt to negotiate the release of the captives, there wasn't a negotiation. God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. He hit him with a plague. God said again, let my people go that they may serve me. Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, no. And he got hit with another plague. And those plagues increased in greater strength and intensity the more Pharaoh said no. Hamas is like Pharaoh in Egypt right now. This is the negotiation between Moses and Pharaoh all over again. And there wasn't a negotiation, because it was, the Lord says, let my people go. No. Okay, I'm going to begin to cripple your economy. I'm going to begin to break the back of Egypt. I'm going to take your livestock. I'm going to take your firstborn. I'm going to destroy your crop, says the Lord. And he does this. Plague after plague after plague, until he cripples Egypt so bad that they have no choice but to release the captives. But what happens? Keep this in mind for Hamas now. When the captives are released and they leave Egypt, in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh rises up one more time and tries to recapture them. This is following a timeline. So keep that in mind. If Hamas negotiates the release of hostages and then they suddenly pull back at the last minute, that's Pharaoh coming back after the captives again. And that's when the Lord lures him to the Red Sea and destroys his army. There is a Red Sea moment coming with this Israel-Hamas war. There is a Red Sea moment coming because this is working a timeline having to do with the book of Exodus and Moses and Egypt. It's coming. And we have to recognize that. Because the enemy works in timelines. The enemy tries to superimpose his own timeline in place in order to try to disrupt the times and seasons of God. And so we're watching a reverse exodus happening in one part of the world while we have a government shutdown happening in another part of the world. And you know what attaches both? That the Lord is requiring that both right now humble themselves before the Lord to get free. There's issues with the government shutdown that this nation needs to be freed from. And there are issues right now going on in Egypt with negotiations because there are captives that need to be free. They both in humility right now need to humble themselves before the Lord and not compromise with that spirit of Pharaoh and not compromise with a temptation or a delicate dainty or a deal that's put out that's just going to try to re-enslave them. So we have to keep watch of this prophetically because this is quite wild, actually. What is happening here? And we'll talk about it more on Thursday when we come on Thursday because we're going live on Thursday again. So I wanted to praise the Lord. I wanted to announce for the night of prayer. Night of prayer is October 17th, live 2025, starting at around 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be announcing our speaker lineup this Thursday, so please tune in Thursday. We have an incredible lineup beginning to form for this night of prayer for the nation, the Trump administration, and the Kirk family. And so it's amazing the timing of this night of prayer. I would be talking about it that night because there's something very prophetic about the date and the timing of this night of prayer. But we are going live on many platforms. There are other platforms that will be hooking into ours that we'll be announcing on Thursday night too, that we'll be holding this night of prayer live as well on their platform. So please mark your calendars to join us. It's a Friday night. We're looking very, very forward to doing this for the Lord and to doing what the Lord is asking us to do. Praise the Lord. Also, if you go to arcofgrace.org/events, we get a lot of emails, people needing our address, people needing information about where they can send things. arcofgrace.org/events, you could go there. We've put everything in one place that you can need, including website, including resources. So you can go there and take a look. And so we put that all in one place for you. Update on Grace. Grace the horse is doing amazing. Grace is looking to be discharged in the next few days and go to the medical barn. So she cannot come home. She has to go to a medical rehab barn that actually has a lot of medical capabilities to intervene. And so we are sending Grace to one of the best in the area. We thank the doctors because they helped us get Grace into this medical barn that is near our house. And so she is doing very well. She is eating. She's going to the bathroom normally. She is bright. She is alert. The doctors, Dr. Hunter told me today that Grace has become one of their favorites at the facility. So they have all absolutely adored Grace. They've taken such wonderful care of her. We so appreciate that. But she does have to go to a medical barn for at least 60 days. So we are continuing in faith on this journey with Grace the horse and her rehab. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for everyone that has been helping, that has been blessing us, that has been helping with her care. Because it is a lot to commit to doing this, to try to rehab an animal. But she's a young horse. And if, you know, where mercy is shown, mercy is given. And this is why, we do that, for these animals. So that's the update on Grace. We will let you know when she's been moved, to the medical barn, and we will continue to take pictures and we will update you. As well, two other things before we end tonight, we're going to put up Givaderm and Rafa very fast. So this is Givaderm. It is all natural food for your face. It is an incredible skincare line. Both me and my husband, Chris, use it. And so we just adore the ladies who own Givaderm. They make an incredible product. It is in all glass as well. Some of my favorites are Uplift, the eye cream. Their lotion is amazing. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. You can use that every single time. The ladies of Givaderm even sent Chris a little gift for his birthday. So we're very appreciative of that. His birthday was officially yesterday. So my hubby's birthday was yesterday. He had a wonderful, wonderful birthday weekend. And so he is quite content with all of that. Also, Rafa. This is Rafa. Myself and Dr. Sherwood created this supplement together. It is for women. It helps with a lot of things that we as women go through with our chemical makeup in our systems. This is meant to support our systems. It is all natural. It can help with things like fatigue, night sweats, mood swings, brain fog, blood sugar issues, and more. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on Rafa to learn more today. Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We will be announcing the lineup for the night of prayer, hopefully this Thursday. We will be going live on Thursday. Also, I wanted to mention, too, at the end, I did this incredible interview with Eric Trump and Clay Clark. It is on all our social media platforms. So if you haven't watched it, please go watch it, because Eric gets very candid about his family in a way that is quite quite profound and amazing. So we encourage you to go watch that as well. Thank you for joining us. We love you. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123, 34, 35, 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. We encourage you in the word every day. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. That's in the believer's authority as well. We say these scriptures every single day. It is important to be in the discipline of that, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. We encourage you to incorporate that into your prayer life. And Hebrews 11, one of the greatest chapters on faith. Also, Isaiah 61 that I read tonight. Go and read that as well. Esther's here in the background right here. She just walked in as we were ending. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will see you on Thursday live. Keep the faith.